Okay, everybody safe. Last year we discussed that Shmuel was Mechadesh a din of Hargosha, which means that even though the Dam is Menamkar, there is still a requirement of Hargosha. That's how the Maram Lublin replied to the Shalach HaKadosh, that Hargosha is not just an idea to be megale that it's from the woman, but it's a separate requirement. So even though it's vaday migufa, you still have to have a Hargosha. It's a gzeres hakosuf. The other possibility is to say no, that Hargosha is not a separate requirement. Hargosha is just indicative that it was coming migufa. But if we say we know otherwise that it's coming migufa, then you wouldn't require a Hargosha. So the Maram Lublin rejects that pshat. He rejects that pshat. And he says it's a separate requirement, and he brings a ride from the Rambam that we saw, that if a woman sees dam inside of her, say she did a bedika, so went inside, and then comes out the bedika cloth is dam, so that's vada migufa. So the Rambam says she's tamea because chazaka, it's baba hargosha. So what do you need to say that for? Why don't you just say, If the whole idea of Hargosha is to indicate that it's Migufa, so then you don't have to say Chazaka Baba Hargosha Ki'ilu, that you have to explain where was the Hargosha. No, just say that since it's Vada Migufa, you don't need the Hargosha. So that was the Maram Lublin's response to Shalach HaKadosh, that it's a separate requirement. And even though you might question, hey, where's the Hargosha? There wasn't Hargosha. It's Chazaka that it was Barba Hargosha. We'll have to explain more what that means. However, there are other approaches. There's a famous Sidrei Tara. Sidrei Tara is from the Gedolei Achronim. It's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. I xeroxed part of it was not put in the, and it's a famous Sidrei Tara in Siman Kuf Tzadi, and it's on here. First, let me tell you one thing. One second. Yeah, what page? 22. Page 22. So on page 22 is this Sidrei Tara and Kuf Tzadi. I think it's Tzadi Beis, Tzadi Gimel. And he takes the approach, at least within Shitas Rashi, and it's known as the Shita of the Sidrei Tara. And that is that you need that it's that Hargosha is just to indicate that it's Vaday Migufa, but if it's Vaday Migufa, even if you don't have Hargosha, she's Tamea. In other words, against the Maram Lublin. Again, the Maram Lublin was saying it in the Rambam. He's going to be saying it in Shitas Rashi. And this is a famous piece of the Sidre Tara. Tzadi, here he quotes it here in this Kuf Tzadi Sifkot and Tzadi Gimel. It's cut off. It starts from before I put it on, it goes on after. The Rashi, as in the Sefer Be'er Azriel, points out that Rashi that he's dealing with is the Rashi on page 7 when we discussed the din of Shmuel. So the Shmuel says you need Hagasha. So then the Gemara has all kinds of questions that seem to be indicating that Afal Gavdolo Hergisha. So the Gemara on Nun Zayin on page 7, the bottom line, Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bidifti Moda Shmuel Shitameyam Bidrabanan, said in a Chanami, all those cases, all the Mishnayis and Brises that they bring, that are Mashmashish Tamei, even Lo Hagisha, that's only Midraban. Again, the din of Hargosha is a din Daraisa. And Rav Ashi says, no. Shmuel hu da Omer ki Rav Nechemia. It's not Rav Nechemia, Omer kol dovish einu mekabel tumme, einu mekabel ksamim. So we know what's stated, that the two, the din Daraisa of Nida is Riya Behargosha. And if it's Riya below Hargosha, that's a Kesem. That's a Kesem. In other words, you see Dam on the clothing, you see Dam on the Karka, that's a Kesem. A Riya below Hargosha. A Riya Im Hargosha, that's a what? Riya Im Hargosha, that's a Daraisa. Ksamim are also Midrabanan. Ksamim also be the run, and the Kesem is a Riyah below Hargosha. So Rashi explains that Pashe Pshat and Shmuel is you need Hargosha. So Rav Ashi says time be the Shmuel domer leil botka karka olam lav mishum Hargosha el karab nechemis really the omer the loz kiyo chom gzeus Kesem el al dover mekabel tuma hilka kohanach tiyuv the lav kushin in the Shmuel lo ayri b'Hargosha klal. Because Shmuel is not really saying a din of Hargosha that you need. The way Sefer Be'er Azriel explains the words of the Sidre Tara is that Shmuel, the Pashe Pshat in Shmuel is you need a din of Hargosha. It's a separate requirement. So Rashi's saying, no, Shmuel says you need a Hargosha. That's only to indicate that it was Bami Gufa. But if it Lamishum Hargosha El Krab Nechemi Domer Loskir Chom Gzeis Kesem El Al Dover Mekabel Tuma Hilka Kohanet Tuv De Lav Kushin In The Shmuel Lo Ayri Hargosha Klal. In other words, so Mamela, so the case over there was she was Bodka, so she knows it's coming Migufa, so we assume she's Temeya. That's what Rav Ashi's saying. But other cases where maybe it's coming from someplace else, or if we know it's coming, we've been told that it's coming from someplace else, she'll be Tahora. So, in other words, the way the Sidre Tara, the Sefer Be'er Azriel explains, is that Rashi's explaining at this point that Shmuel really doesn't hold a Hargosha as a Tor Hargosha. And all the prices that say she's Tamea even below Hargosha, so that's because we don't have a Tliya. When we have a Tliya that it's coming from someplace else, then she's Tahora. And if we don't have a Tliya, then we assume that it's coming from her, she's Tamea. And it's all talking about whether it's Vaday Migufo or not. And Hargosha is just a way of indicating whether it's Vaday Migufa, but not a requirement of Hargosha at all. So this is known as the Sidre Tara Shita of that is something that's Ba Migufa, doesn't require Hargosha per se, because it's Vaday Migufa, and that's all we need to know. And that's known as the Sidre Tara's Shita within Shitas Rashi, and that's how he assumes. So therefore, you could be Tameya even below Hargasha. All those cases are, Afal Gavdalo Hargasha, she's still Tameya. Yeah, because it's, because we don't have a Tliya. Because I wrote Kesem Absar Keneged Beis HaTorfa. As we see it right coming from the Oso Mokum. So it's so obviously that's where it came from. So therefore, Afal Gavdalo Hargasha, it's not a Kash and Shmuel. The Shmuel didn't really require Hargasha to have a Hargasha per se. All he's requiring is to know that it's Vade Migufa. But the Maram Lublin, in his letter to the Shalach HaKadosh, he brought a raya from the Rambam, and he felt that that's how we should paskin. Whether or not he could give another pshat in this Rashi or not is irrelevant. Oh. So the big discussion that we have to tackle in halacha is like this. See, Bizman, quote Chazal, or the early times, when they had Hargasha, so that means either one of the three Hargashas that were mentioned yet last time, the Psichas Pi HaMokor of the Truma Sedeshin, or the Zivas Dover Lach of the Noda Bihuda, or the Mizdazeh Gufa of the Rambam. So then, the halacha is, as we'll learn, even a tipas dam with a hargasha, even one tipas dam with a hargasha is a nida deraisa. Then you could have what? Let's assume now that hargasha is a separate requirement, not like this sidre tara that we just mentioned. Like but the old Maram Lublin's opinion that it's a separate requirement. So then the halacha is that when one woman sees dam, you need two things. You need dam and a mokar, and you have to know that it's min a mokar, and you need hargasha. So then once you have that, she's tameya midaraisa. If you don't have hargasha, even though it might be min a mokar, but there's no hargasha, then it's only the rabbanim, and that's called a kesem. But once, when there was a hargasha, so then it didn't matter. In other words, the araisa dam with hargasha, the rabbanon dam beli hargasha. But the quantity of dam is irrelevant. Meaning, you can have a tipa of dam with hargasha, and that's a araisa. You can have a pool of dam without hargasha, and that's the rabbanon. As Rav Moshe here, as Rabbi Tuchman once pointed out to me on page 2 in the Tshuva, he says, the third line where the arrow is in the third column, third line from the arrow, the little Tama, there is Kesem al Dovah Sheinu Mekar Afshu Godol Harbe Shevadei Ba Migufa. In other words, even if it's Godol Harbe, it's still a Kesem. Even if it's Godol Harbe, it's still a Kesem. Because there was no hargasha, even if it's vadai ba miguf. And that's the din drabban. But a tipas dam with hargasha, we'll see. A tipas dam with hargasha, that's a deraisa. A ribuy dam below hargasha, even a ribuy dam is only drabban. Now the question, that this is the most important point that we're going to make now, and that's the following. See, now today, that presumably we don't have hargasha, or it's questionable whether we have hargasha. Like if you hold like the Truma Sadeshan, that it's the Psichas Pi HaMokor, so I don't know, is there any woman today who really feels the opening? Maybe one of a million, maybe, can feel the opening of the uterus. Actually, feels that. Are highly, highly doubtful. Zivas davralach. Maybe there's some people that Rav Moshe, speaks about the Noda Yehuda. Certainly, if you hold like the Chavos Das, whoever feels it coming dafka out at that point, that's also. A rarity, and Nizdazei Agufa is a question, as and that's dependent upon, we're going to see, the question in the postgame, whether Nizdazei Agufa is referring to cramps or not. The cramps many women have, but as Rabbi Gedalia Berger pointed out, many postgame hold that that's not considered a hargosha because it's not coming commensurate with the bevasachas when the dam is coming out. It's preceding. So the question is that called a hargosha, or is that just the vesas aguf? Yeah.
I don't understand why women today would be different than women in the past thousands of years.
Right, right.
Because now they don't have these things anymore.
That's right. What's your name?
Josh.
Josh. Josh what?
Bob Winner.
Oh, your Simon's brother?
Yeah.
Okay, so he says very well. What changed? What changed? So that's a good question. Rav Shachter wanted to claim that women, you know, go to work. That's what changed. that's what he once said. I don't know, it was a Friday night questions and answer, one of these things. So in the old days they would sit at home, so then they could feel all their, and today they're always running around, so they're not. Well, I mean, we do have a concept of Neshtanu HaTavayim. We do have, you know, someone wrote a whole sefer on that. Rav Neri Agutal wrote a whole sefer about all the halachas throughout Shulchan Aruch that we say Neshtanu HaTavayim. We do have such a thing that but clearly, I mean, say if you say like the Chasam Sofer didn't like the Tzivas Dover Lach, so the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva said it's only Psichas Pi Amokar. So then according to him, you know, what's going on? You know, the Chasam Sofer. I didn't show it to you. It's on page 18. I'll just take a look for a second. He was the opponent of the Nod Yehuda. Look what he writes. Omnam geder hagosha hisi mekel tafka kshehagisha psichas peha mokar mamash. Right? Only if you magish the psichas pi amoker. If you're not magish psichas pi amoker, then that's not needed.
Why did you
make? Makel meaning it won't be a daraisa. In other words, another Yehuda is saying even zivas dover lach makes it a hargosha to make it a daraisa. He's saying no, zivas dover lach, I'll still say it's only a derabbanan. So according to the Chasam Sofer, psichas pi amokar. So how many women have psichas pi amokar? So this is a big problem. And you see, Hilchas Nida was very simple until this point. Meaning, you just had to know that the dam was migufa, and in other words, without a reasonable tliya that it came, you know, from someplace else. Like in the recent past, I think I had like two women, one or two women, who came to me with a bedika cloth, and there was red on the, one had red on the bedika cloth, one had red on the envelope, and it was so strange. And I said, this looks, and it wasn't near the, until she figured it out what it was, she had like some lipstick on her, and then on her finger, and then she put it on the, and she was holding the bedika cloth. So the red was from the lipstick of the bedika, of, it wasn't dam nida. So you have tliyas. So even today, we don't have necessarily people going in the shuk and getting all red from the shuk, but we have lipstick and things like that people. Just in the recent past, in the recent couple of weeks, I think one or two women with this. Situation. So that's the question. So how does So are we going to say, like the woman who came to Rabbi Shechter and said, you know, I don't go to mikveh because I just wear, you know, ksamim, we know there are three kulas of ksamim. That if you have colored underwear, so then a kesem and colored underwear is tahora, right? Because you have a stain, so it's a riya below hagasha, and it's colored underwear, so then it's not even asur midrabban. And if it's einu mekabel tuma, that's another heter. That it's on a panty line or a pad. It's not mekabel, it's disposable. So if you assume, like the poskim, that disposable things are not mekabel tuma, so also, so the kesem is even bigger than a gris, it's also mutter, legamri. In other words, kesem is the rabban, and then we have kulas for the, and then there's a halacha that the kesem has to be a certain size, a gris va'od, which Rav Abadi assumes a nickel or more, but less than a nickel is tahora. So we have kulas, but only if it's a kesem. So it's very important in halacha to determine, is something a riyah or something a kesem? That is the most important thing in Hilchas Nida. Is it a riyah or a kesem? So again, Bisman, Chazal, it was simple. You had to just checklist. Was there dam, min ha-mokar, or was there hargasha? If it's dam, you have both of them. Check, check. Nida daraisa. Then you get no kulas. So it's like I said, like the woman asks Rabbi Shechter, "Ah, oh, I'm wearing colored underwear, so I didn't go to the mikveh for who knows how long." That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Just because you wear colored underwear, you never go to the mikveh? It's ridiculous. Because once it's a riyah, it's a daraisa, you don't get the coolers of tzavonim anymore. It's ridiculous. Or she's wearing a pad. She's wearing a pad, so it's disposable. So you never go to the mikveh, just wear a pad and you don't have to go to the mikveh? It's ridiculous. No nitan layamer such a thing. So again, Mizman Chazal, it was simple. You just had a checklist, the two things. But Bizman Hazeh, that we have, we don't have these hargashas. So then what do? So we have blood. That we have. We still don't do away with the blood. We have blood. So then, how do you go? So you could say, well, maybe everything's a kesem. But that's a... Or you could say, we don't know, so maybe we have to be machmir, and everything is a riyah. What do you do? How do you deal with this? That is the major question that confronts Hilchas Nida Bizman Hazeh. That basically we have to have a workable solution of how Hilchas Nida works. So there are some poskim that are of the opinion that cramps do count. We'll see there's a tshuva here in the Tzitz Eliezer, there's a tshuva in the Maram Shik, but so if you hold that cramps are the Maram Shik, here is on Maram Shik is a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, and he on page 9. So he quotes the Noda Biyuda, he quotes the Rambam, and he says, "They see the big problem is what's the source of Hargasha? Bipsara." At Shatargish Bipsara. Now, what is Bipsara referring to? The body? That you're trembling? Was referring to the vaginal canal. So, Al Karcha, Bukhara, it's referring to the vaginal canal because the Gemara we saw last time says that Mitame Bifnim Mibachutz, that once the blood comes out from the uterus into the vaginal canal, she's Tame from the words. Besara. So Besara is referring to that area. It's not referring to... So the question so he's dealing with is, so Mehechi Tesi to say, like Nizdazeya or other things, if if that's the where the pasuk is referring to. So he writes on page 9 in the second in the arrow there, Lakach Nira Levar Yosir second. Hine loshen boser nimtza bechlal prat lefomim hu medober al kol aguf lefomim kinoy al hagid. So he says that if you'll go through Tanakh, so sometimes boser is referring to that specific area of the body, and sometimes it's the whole body. And you look, the Tzitz Eliezer also subscribes to this idea of Nizdazeya. So, the way many people who paskin nida shailas deal with today is, and basically, we basically are rewriting, so to speak, Hilchas Nida. I mean, obviously we're not rewriting it, but we're going to have to try to work with the Metzius of today and try to... You see, certain things we're going to consider untenable. Whereas we're not going to say that, okay, some women of Chris. So not everybody agrees with this Marim Shik. That the, you know, some say it's only the Psichas Pi Hamokar. Not everyone agrees with the Marim Shik. That the cramps are doing. And not, well, women have cramps anyway. So, well, only the women have cramps, they become needless. And women who don't have cramps, they get their period, and they're not, they're only, it's only drabanon, and maybe if they're wearing tzivonim, like this woman who spoke to Rabbi Shechter, she could say, oh, I don't have to go to the mikveh, which is untenable. Some things you just can't say. You can't say that you can just wear colored underwear your whole life and never go to the mikveh. Because everything today is a kesem for women who, even for some of the women, I think it's untenable to say such a thing. That it's all a kesem. Again, like we saw in Rav Moshe, Bizman Chazal, so even Dam Harbe, he writes, but if it's below Hargosha, that's a kesem. And the Tipa Achas, even with Hargosha, is a daraisa. You know, it reminds me of, like, just my mind is reminds me of, like, they say in Hilchos Hotzah on Shabbos, right? I can carry this table, like Rabbi Riskin was once giving a mashal. I can carry this table from here till I'm going to be very. But I'm not going to violate Hotzah from tearing this table on Shabbos out of this room till, you know, into the hallway. But that's what the Torah said, that's mutter. It's not Hotzah. And I carry my hanky, you know, that's no big deal. And in the street, assuming that it's a Rishus Rabim, whatever, that could be a Daraisa. So, but Halacha gave Gedar. So, Bizman Chazal, Al Tipas Dam with Hargosha. That's a deraisa, and ribui dam b'lo hagosha is not. You would say that, but these are the gedarim that the Torah gave. The Torah gave a gzeiras hakos of hagosha, gzeiras hakos of dam. So even though, you know, it sounds counterintuitive to have such a thing, but afal pikin. So the question is, what do we do bizman hazeh? So the way that most mor hara deal with Hilchas Nida today is like this. They say that Ribui Dam is considered a Riya and Miyad Dam is considered a Kesem. Meaning, a Kesem that's Mutter is less than a nickel or a penny or whatever sheet you hold by, that's Mutter Lagamre. But when is it an Issa Kesem? And when do we say, this is no longer a kesem, this is a daraisa, this is a riya? So we have to draw the line someplace. So again, when there was hargosha, that was our help. The hargosha said, yes hargosha, no hargosha, that was it. We didn't care how much dam it was. But today, that the Hargasha is not with us as we would like it to be with us. So things are very vague and fuzzy. So we assume, that if it's Ribui Dam, like Rabbi Bari said, and Rabbi Tani Lauer told me from Rabbi Moshe Sternbach that he learned by, that it's sort of an umda, Ruba de Lesa Kaman, Rabbi Tani Lauer said from Rabbi Moshe Sternbach. And Rabbi Bari said it's that Rov Dam in Baim, that Ribui Dam is usually Baba Hargasha. So even though she doesn't have it, but we assume that that's considered like a Hargasha, and therefore we're going to Aser. And if you don't have Ribui Dam, then it's going to be a Kesem. The question is, it's not, you see, if you work with this Mahalach, it's not so clearly defined. So what's the cutoff point? You see, a gris, the ode, we're going to have a specific shear, and we're going to have a very specific measurement of a certain amount of barley seeds, of how much is a gris. And if it's less than a gris, so kesem, she's muteris. Very specific. This is not so clearly defined. You know, the different poskim who paskin hilchas nida shailas, who give, it's hasharis of sorts, that this is called, we can't call this a kesem anymore. We have to call this a ria. Or as Rabbi Willig once said, even if it might be less than what her regular flow is. You see, you could say, everyone kefi their regular flow. And then if it's less than the regular flow, we'll call it a kesem. But that wasn't accepted either. So some say, what do you call that, those coins? When a dollar, silver dollar, that became some, and some say that's a fictitious, it's just ways of, Rav Abadi used to tell me, Rav Yitzchak Abadi of Lakewood used to tell me, when there were American quarters on a tissue, when you normally assume, and she wipes with a tissue, so that's a kesem, but if it's so much on the tissue, if as long as it's an external wipe, then it's going to become a ria. So he used to, Rav Abadi used to say to me, six quarters zebaya. That you already said should be choshesh, that this is a quasi ria, and you shouldn't be mekel anymore. Different times he's told different things because it's not an exact science. But different rabbanim have different cutoff points where to draw that line, because al korach there has to be a cutoff point somewhere, or else by these women who don't have these hargashas, then we're not going to just say they're tahora, because it's all a kesem and a kesem on davar sheino mekabel tuma say. And therefore, it's not even usher at all. It's difficult. Rabbi Bari suggested to me that you could say maybe in Ochanami, it's only a ria. You could have a concept maybe of a ria midrabbanan that some Sfarim write about, and then you could say that the whole thing, like Rabbi David Feinstein suggested, maybe it could be a drabonon, but then you can't say it's a drabonon and then it's going to be mutilagami. You're going to have to say something along the lines, as Rav Padova, Rav Badi mentioned, it could be a ria drabonon or something like that. But you could say that. I still am more comfortable saying that it would be a deraisa after a certain point. So you have to. So different rabbanim have different mesoras of of where the, you know, you have a hargasha of where the hargasha is, you know. But that's, that became the derech hamelech of how to paskin need the shilas. That if a rav sees, and this I heard from Rav Aaron Felder as well, it was Rav Moshe's, one of Rav Moshe's big talmidim, unfortunately was nifter recently. There was a rav in Philadelphia, so he used to speak a lot. So he also told me, you know, a very big stain would, even if it's uncolored, we would treat it like anita, and we won't give you the kulas of tzivonim. This I heard from Rav Kelimer of West Hempstead, who was Mishamish Rav Yashiv Zatzal. You know, before the days that it was hard to get to Rav Yashiv, and he was still, you know, man in his whatever 60s, and he was learning in some base medrash in Yerushalayim. You know, and you can just walk up to him, and so he also told me that he held that heavy staining is, you have to consider that a riyah after a certain time, and you can no longer give the kulos.
Is any distinction made between whether it's coming on the vessels on the cycle? Or
We're going to get to that. But this is like a very, just the fundamental, you see, you can, like Rabbi Gedalia Berger said, you can learn all of Hilchas Nida in the written Sfarim and not understand this point. You understand that today things change, and it could be you have to. So the assumption of most poskim today is if it's a big kesem, like say Rabbi Badi said, 6 quarters, you know, give or take something like that, we'll have to treat it ki'ilu there was a hargasha. This is an umdunas hargasha, which you just like we'll see soon in the Archa Shulchan. The Archa Shulchan has this famous line, he's quoting from the Shev Yaakov. Here, page 20. So this is a famous... Shev Yaakov. That's the Shev Yaakov. Bishum Hamar Sheshach. Mar Sheshach is the Sefer Kos Yeshuos. If you look in the Hakdama to the Egle Tal, he has a famous piece about learning Torah. So he can play Rabbi Berish Mandelbaum Zatzal, who's the librarian here in the yeshiva from 1948 to 1998. You know, pointed this out to me, that he complains that people, the Egle Tal, that people don't learn the Mar Sheshach the way they should. I've never heard of the Mar Sheshach. I'll tell you, now I tell you, the name is safe as Kos Yeshuos. So you can look it up. So, Shechok al-Zel, Lenoshim B'kiyos, V'amr lo, Shetivyos, Tivyos, Yishbohem, Shemek, some women have different natures, some do feel, some don't feel. So then he says, Hevel yiftzapi anoshim ha'ela. So the Archa Shulchan says, the lo yadi maika amri. They don't know what they're talking about. So, the Archa Shulchan's complaining. The women are saying that they don't feel anything. They don't know what they're talking about. I mean, it's hard for. Okay, that's what he's saying. So Rabbeinu Nemanim aleinu yose mehen. Rabbeinu Neman, that there is hargasha. Ah, you say you don't feel it? So you just, I don't know. But they're not lying either. Like, I mean, I'm a shakras b'divreim. El she'enu mevinos. They don't know. The dad the chol dover moshe shabaguf shaguf tzorach lidchosim. It be a kadosh baruch b'teva aguf shkiyegiyaz man dechifosam lachutz sheyiftuchu as nikvei aplata. Whatever the body has to emit something, right? So when it's about to emit something, there's a sensation that you feel as it's emitting something. Right, so that's what he's saying. The Trumas Hadashin is calling that the Psichus Piyamakar. Just when a person has the excrement comes out, or urine comes out, or anything that is being emitted from the body. So there's some feeling. So the same thing by Dam Nida. So the holes, you know, we make the bracha and the kovim, so the holes open up and out comes whatever comes out. Tzrachim gedolim, ktanim, mucus from the nose, damnida, whatever it is. So they really, v'shas psich yesh hagrosa, so they think they don't have it, but they really do have it. And okay, but that's the question. Does, you know, but the Lamaisa, they're not feeling it. So that's what, like Rabbi Abadi was saying, and I think Rabbi Tani Lau was saying from Rabbi Moshe Sternbuch, that so the but. So there was one could have said, so based on this, that any dam that comes out is you have to be choshish that there was a hargasha. In other words, if you want to say that there is this hargasha, they're not just feeling it. So the way that the poskim have assumed b'zman hazeh is that to make this chiluk between riboy dam and not riboy dam. And again, there's no, you know, again, as I told you, Rav Avadi used to tell me like around 6 quarters was the, but again, it's not a ironclad thing, but that's how poskim, upaskin, hilchas nida, b'zman hazeh, use some type of k'markedi islay, umarkedi islay, some type of measurement of a cutoff point, of some have less than 6, you know, of where to draw this line, and that became the mahalach of paskening hilchas nida. There is a sefer called Chok Uzman. It's here on supplement packet 1. So his name is Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel Bleich. Anyone here got a grus? No one got the grus yet. There used to be a man in the yeshiva, his name is Rav Reuven Bleich. Not Rabbi Bleich, who's here now. He's Rav Reuven Bleich. He's a man in his 70s, whatever. So he went here to yeshiva, then he got married, had a family, went to business. Well, then he retired and he came back to finish off smicha when he was 70. Some years old, and he went to Rabbi Weiss's Yoredei Shir, and then he was very involved in all the Russians in the yeshiva. He used to make sure they go into Minyan and this and that, and he was very, very involved, and then he made Aliyah. So now if you're around Grus, he pops in. So his son wrote this sefer called Chok Uzman, and basically his son told me that, like, when he was getting married, or no, you know, him and his friends, they were all involved in Hilchas Nida. And so what he decided to do is speak to all various Rabbanim that he had been able to have contact with and find out what they held about this, what they held about this. And then he put a compendium together of everything. So, you know, it could be a little confusing because he's going to tell you everything out there. So, but it's interesting to look in. So he quotes here from on page 7 in the second column in Choku Mishpat on the bottom. Here, see, he's right. Look on the top on Yud. Rosa ribui dam al beget savua yesh omrim de tmeya. So that's the mahalach that I told you. That once it's ribui dam, then it's tmeya, and that's the way that many rabbanim today assume. So he quotes from Rav Moshe, Kach Shemati B'Shem Agon Rav Moshe Feinstein, Mitalmido Agon Rav Elimelech Bluth, who was also one of Rav Moshe's close Talmidim. Shamalo Agon Zatzal Dim Yeshlo Dam Maspik Dei Chasos Kol Tachtis Habeged. In other words, if the whole bottom of the underwear is full of blood, so then you have to say that Amrinin Shehaya B'Hargosha. And he says Kach Chosov Mipi Agon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal Hilchos Nida Rabbi Shimon Einer Sefer etc. This. And the Mieshko Kach Dam Al Ben Shlifi Rosei Neimor Yev Shalov Ol Belo Hagasha. So, as he says, Lifi Rosei Neimora. That's such a. You have to say there was a Hagasha, even though maybe there wasn't. But we're going to label that as a Hagasha. And Mimela, you see, well, the other thing in Rav Moshe in the Tshuva where he says Riboy Dam, that was talking, I believe, the end. As Rabbi Kochman pointed out, maybe that could be contradictory. So I think the answer is very simple. That there was when there was real hagoshes, then it was very clear with the hagoshes. Then even ribui dam, we're going to say is mutter, is a kesem, and then we'll give you the kulos of kesem if it's ain a mekabel tumah or not, or it'll be a derabbanan. But this is talking about bezman hazeh that we don't have. So then the ribui dam became the workable way of dealing it, and this—that's how Hilchas Nida is dealt with. I mean, there are some poskim that were very machmir to say that, you know, if bisman hazeh, maybe we should go the other way and say that. You know, even a small amount, you have to be choshesh that it's a ria. There's a sefer here in one of these supplements called Kneu Bosim. You see what page it's on? Yeah, it's on supplement of packet one, page. Starting on page 16. His name is Meir Brandsdorfer. I met him once. He was a big posek in Meir Sharim. I remember I once showed him my lulav years ago. So he was a big posek in. So he took the approach that even on take a look on Omnam on page 16. On the right bottom. Omnan l'chor yesh l'ayim b'zeh mishum shnei dvarim. Ne yedu sh'ayom shum chulshos haguf. Chulshos haguf. So that's another. Women are just weaker than they used to be. Ein anoshim argishos, afil b'shas vestam. Even when they're getting their period, just everyone's weak today. Okay? So they're not feeling it. V'gamim argishos zivas dovralach b'beis achitzom. The whole hargosha ain't el b'shasha nirtav etzlam mibachutz me'adam. In other words, yeah, they feel it when it goes on their clothing, and then, but that everyone agrees there's nothing, you know, that you feel wet clothing, that's not a. We said at most, we saw you last time, that if there's, you feel it coming out of the body, there was some that, Moshe and others that gave it some credence. He says what we said before, he can't fathom that such a thing could be true, that there's no daraisas today. They're sensitive, it's be hahergish. Right, the sensory system, nervous system, is not as sensitive. You have to ask a neurologist. לכן אין המרגישוס ואין זה מגרה עצם עניין הריה. He says, okay, בכל ריה יש סופק הרגושו. So he says that every ria, even a little bit, should be a sofek hargosha. You know, even a mashahu. So again, Bizman Chazal, when you had the hargoshas, they were very clear and very sensitive. So yeah, either had it or you didn't have it. But today, that this thing, so he's saying that once there's even a little bit of dam, you have to say maybe there's a sofek hargosha here. Now this is the he wants to make the most radical statement here. The name of Gam came b'ksamim pachas b'kigris. Shebizmaneinu yesh b'zeh sofek shema hergish reino yodas b'kach mishum chusas aguf. Maybe even a little bit, even pachas b'kigris, it should be a sofek d'raisa. Because we said the real din d'raisa is even a mashahu. Even a mashahu, as Rav Abadi points out, the Beferish Mishnah. So even a mashahu is matame benida. So you're telling me, but there's no hargasha. But there's never. But this woman is not even going to have a hargasha when she has a flow. So kashem that we're making up this hargasha, so to speak. So maybe we should make it up even in a little bit. So we said the way people paskin the common mahalach psak is that when there's ribui gedam, we choshesh that there was this hargasha, and when there was a little miyad dam, no, and then you have to draw the line someplace. But he's not so sure. So he says that once it's vadei migufo, so then so he says, Mikol Mokom, in the next page, Shabal of Nefane Kesem, a few pachas mikigrish, Shemimara Hadam Nirashu Migufa. So he, and this is a separate discussion, we don't normally assume like this. He says, if somebody sees, shows him a Kesem, bright red, he sees it Migufa, so he'll tell her, do a Bedika, and you'll find that there's Dam there. Because he's not so wanting to metayak samim bisman hazeh, because even a little bit, mikesem ein olam mavsu shevshar lovoli de mikshol. Okay, I'm just showing you the most machmir approach to this thing is that he's mikoshesh to any time, and then if we tell her do a bedika, and then most probably she'll find dam inside, and then it'll be metame. So again, but we assume bisman hazeh, as I said, there are two need the daraisas, either the riboy dam, or whenever you find dam inside, like the couple that had intercourse, and the man had dam on his aver after the intercourse, even a little bit, or the bedika cloth, or anything, even when it comes inside. So we assume that that dam that was found inside is also a chazaka. Shabbat Bahargasha. That's the Rambam, as Rav Avadi pointed out. So we assume that a mashu inside or a ribui dam outside, and that's usually the mahalach that you need some workable system. So this became the default workable system. Oh, now yeah.
I mean, he's saying that if you find the kesem, he's not saying that. Is he saying that it has the? You don't have the kulos anymore, or are you just saying do a bedika?
Do a bedika.
He's not being machmir.
Right. He's not just saying. Yeah. He's saying do a bedika. Oh. Now there's a famous tshuva from Rav Yashiv. On page 25. Kovitz Shuvus. Rav Yashiv has these, they came out with like five volumes, I think now, of Kovitz Shuvus from Rav Yashiv, which to me is the ikar of legacy of Rav Yashiv, is the Shuvus, these Shuvus. You know, they have these Ha'aris farm, Ever see Horace, those black books? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like 20 of them? Those are very good, but that's not where the godless of Rabbi Eliashiv lies. You understand? That was his nightly. Rabbi Eliashiv gave a nightly shiur in shul after Marv. Gemar shiur. He went from the beginning of the Masechta to the end, and then he went on the next Masechta. But the shiur met every night, so it's not like once a week. It met every night. And then someone put together like different ha'aris that he gave, which are fine, which are great. You know, you see what he decided to speak about on every sugya. But the godless Rabbi Yashiv are the tshuvas. Even though they're different types of tshuvas than Rav Moshe, but you see a certain authority and confidence, a man who knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and confidence in halacha. So this tshuva was written to Rabbi Herschel Welcher, who's the Rav Avos Yisrael. Avos Yisrael is a shul in Kew Garden Hills, those that live in Queens. Rabbi Welcher learned in Chafetz Chaim in Queens, and I think his Rebbe, Rav Henoch Leibowitz, arranged that he should be Meshamish Rabbi Yashiv. So basically, Rabbi Yashiv, he has this tshuva here to discuss this very question of what to do with Hargosha Bizman Hazeh. And basically, Rabbi Yashiv said that he thinks that Hargosha just means that's the Derech Riya. Whereas the normal flow, the Derech Riya, that's Hargosha. Hargosha is just indicative of that it's the Derech Riya. And he quotes a Ragachavar on page 26. The second arrow. He says, we know the halacha is that even a girl, bas yom echad, right, is metame benida. Again, you have to realize, nida is not only a din in Asur Labayla. Okay, this girl is not married, presumably, but nida is a din that if you touch bread, you touch, it's metame. Right? It's a din of taras also, so it's the din of nida. So bas yom echad, the din is matami benida. So the Ragachav asked the kasha, ayim tzofna paspaneach. Tzofna paspaneach is the Ragachav, because his name is Rav Yosef Rosen. So Yosef is called tzofna paspaneach. Hey tzofna paspaneach, peredav su b'mei she'omer al zeh, hech mishkachas le debas yom echad, the tami benida, halo chosir hargosha. The assumption is that she's not the sensitive, even this man that there was hargosha, we assume that a one-day-year-old girl is not sufficiently going to feel, is not sufficiently developed to feel it, yet she still taught me midaraisa. Teres rakim einam argeshes asav ereisha, aval lo shaykh b'hargosha lo ichpaslo. In other words, if it's shaykh to have hargosha and you're not, but if this is the norm, then...
But you just learned it's more mashma that in that case that we assume it's a chazak, there is a hargosha, and since she can't tell us where...
Right, you could say like that. You could say she has the hargosha, she just can't... Right. You're right. It's not... I wouldn't... you know, what his answer is not... You make a very good point. And then he makes this comment here. So basically, Rav Eliashiv is basically saying that, you know, whatever the norm is, that's, you call that Hargosha. He doesn't speak here. Again, I did hear from Rabbi Kelmer that he was mechalek between stomach hesem and heavy staining, that I heard from Rabbi Kelleman, the name of Rabbi Yashiv. He says something here that if you have a pad on the v'chein, on the left side. Lefi hani ashli ravi she sort of had to be dama yosim gufa she borrow lo shalom der gisha came isha has some. In other words, if you hold that if she has a pad right up to the tachposhes al osa mokum, it's right smack against the opening of the vaginal opening. Tachposhes also mispog as hafroshes matzah dam mchuvin shabor shadam yotzeh megufa. So he says that maybe shouldn't get the coolness of ksamim because it's vada migufa, and this is called that we don't need a hargasha. But if it's on her underwear, then you could say maybe it came from someplace else. And then he quotes that Sidre Tara. Okay. Now, two more things I want to comment on. Another thing we have to deal with in this day and age, besides the fact that women are not the same the way they used to be, feel again, when the women fell to hargashas and everything was simple. Now, we have to, as I say, we have to recreate Hilchas Nida. Basically, that's what we're doing. We're recreating. They're recreating Hilchas Nida by making these new things, you know. Oh, so another question comes up today, Bizman Hazeh, and that is birth control. So I'm not talking about, you know, the issue of birth control, about whether children should have children right away, and that. I'm not talking about that. That's a separate share. I'm talking about what birth control does to the woman's body. Okay? Meaning, today, the most common birth control that's used are pills. Why? Because it's the easiest. Instead of having to insert, something mechanically inside the woman, it's a whole pain in the neck, you just take a pill. You take a pill every day, and take a pill every day. And she can't forget. You know, as one doctor once said, it's an unforgivable pill. Because if you forget a pill, then what's going to happen is she's going to stain, and then we're going to have a whole big shiloh of reboot. Because once you keep, the body is in a certain hormone level, you got to keep it that way. Once she stops the pills, it happens all the time. A woman goes away for Shabbos, she forgot her pills. And then she starts staining. And the stain could be a shayla of ribui dam. And then it could be, so sometimes you could save it by doubling up the next day. And before you got the, but sometimes it's too late. And sometimes they go away for, a couple of days and they don't have the, So pills, basically, so once you introduce anything into a body that tampers with the hormones, then all bets are off. Anything can happen now. She can get her period when she least expects it, and especially if you forget a pill, then she'll have staining. Sometimes the staining won't be ribui dam, and sometimes it will be ribui dam, and sometimes it'll haunt her a week later, like the day that she's expecting to go to the mikvah. She'll get a bad bedika because a week ago she forgot a pill. So, that's why people always call me up. Can they take the pill on the tainus? Can they take a pill on Yom Kippur? Of course, you got to take the pill. You take it without water, but you got to take the pill. You take the pill on Yom Kippur without water. You take the pill on Tisha B'Av without water. You take the pill. You don't not take the pill. Because if you don't take, you stop taking the pill, you're going to have these ksamim, and the ksamim sometimes they'll be okay, it won't be what we call ribui dam, but sometimes it will be. Well, but then Rabosai, then you have other things. Then you have what's called the IUD. It's another type of birth control, which is put inside the the rechem. And it's usually for women that are, say, more long-term, they're not planning to have kids within a couple of years or something like that, for whatever reason. So they put in an IUD, and there's different types of IUD, some are hormonal, some are not hormonal, you know. So the problem is like this. This is the issue at hand. A couple of issues. One issue is that some women, when they're on hormonal birth control, so usually what happens is, the way they do it, the old style of pills was you take the pill, say for 28 days straight, and then you get on a sugar pill, take that for 4 or 5 days, and then she goes back to her regular pill. So when she's on the sugar pill, what's called the placebo, she's going to get her period. Sometimes the first day, the second day, the third day, because once she stops the pill to let the period come, even on women on pills let their period come. And then, so this way they have the period and they go back on the pill. And presumably, every month when she's off the pill for a couple of days, she's still protected. You know, it's not like she's leaving the birth control. She's still on the birth control, but she gets off the pill to let the period come. This was the original way. This I heard from Dr. Fratell, that the original, I mean, the Jews were not the ones to come up with these pills. They were in the Gentile world. So, as he said, the Catholic Church did not want to mess with natural order. You don't want to mess with natural order. So they said the way we'll do the pill is it'll be like 28 days, so it's almost like a regular cycle. And then you'll get off, and then you'll bring the period, and then you'll start again, not to mess with natural cycle, natural order. So they wanted to make it as looking as natural as Kielu, she's not taking a pill. That's what the Catholic Church had in mind. That's what Dr. Fratell told me. Okay. Now today also you have women who take seasonal pills. They say, once we're on the pill, so might as well take a 3-month thing. And take 3 months straight, and then it makes life easier. You don't have to go to the mikveh every month. You know, 3 months, the seasonal pills. And they have other things, you know. In this generation, you know, everything is new inventions and new things, and so in every area of life there's the latest. Whatever you have, I'm not a computer person, whatever your computer you have, in 6 months from now it'll be outdated, and whatever your phone is, if you have a regular old phone, you know, but whatever phone you have, 6 months from now it'll already be outdated. So the pills also, so the problem is like this. Certain birth control pills and certain IUDs, even when she gets off them, she'll only bleed like a little bit every month. What Rabbi Willig here calls in his article, tipachochi. One drop per month. And that's it. One drop per month. Zakop. So this is the biggest question in the world. What to do with such women? Because they're wearing colored underwear. So normally the way many pills work is when you come off the pill after the 28 days or whatever, then you get a regular flow. And then it's riboidam, and then it works into our way we constructed Hilchas Nida. But the question is, what about these women who are in these pills or these that will only allow them to bleed minimally every month? So every month they'll get one drop, and that's it. So what do we do with these women? Do we say, okay, that's your needless for the month? Or do we say, no, but this is this is probably less than the kesem that we were matayer a week ago. What do we say? Well, this is her monthly cycle. This became the monthly cycle. So that's the question. What do we do? So they're having three mahalchim in this, and this is very nogea. This happens all the time. There are three mahalchim with this shaila. One is to say that this is her cycle. This became her cycle. So even though it's not ribui dam, this is it. This is the cycle. This is her norm. And therefore she's a nida daraisa, and even though she only saw a little bit, which we would not there more on a different, but and she's wearing tzivonim and she wore wearing a pad. And we'll asser it on the monthly basis. That I heard Rav David Feinstein, Rabbi Willick here is in this article, I think based on Rav Yashiv is machmer in that. Rav Abadi has told me he thought no. That Mikir Adin is still a kesem. Again, if everyone has the shayla, you should ask. Well, every shayla can be different, and this is like a real big shayla of a deraita. But Rav Abadi thought, no, a tipa chodshi is a kesem. It's no different than any other kesem, because if you're working with a ribui dam, it's a kesem, and therefore if it's on something that's not mekabel tuma or on tzivonim, so she's mutaras. And then I heard, I believe, from Rav Herschel Ausch. Rav Herschel Ausch is one of the big poskim. He lives in Williamsburg. He's on the Beis Harav of Rav Yecheskel Roth, who is one of the big poskim today in the world. So he's on his Beis Harav. So I speak to him, and he's one of the rabbanim in the Hasidic world who's very versed in medical shailas. So he told me. You see, Herschel Ausch is machmir for the cramps, our gosha, and he would tell me that even if a woman had cramps and she had even a little bit of blood, he would metame her, which many poskim are not. Rav Abadi has told me that, you know, that when the line is not so clear, whether it's riboy dam or not, so then Rav Abadi would say, find out, did she have cramps? Or did she feel it coming out? So he would use that, you know, these hargushas that were mesupuk, whether they call hargushas, so Rav Abadi will use them to tilt the scale. Whereas if it's clear ribudam, then you don't need it. And if it's clear not ribudam, it won't matter, even with the cramps. But if it's somewhere in the middle, so he'll ask, you know, to me to find out were there cramps, did she feel, or did she even feel the hargosha of Rav Moshe of coming out of the body? Yeah. So Rabbi Yash told me about the Tipa Chodshi, I think he thought also was, if I'm not mistaken, it's a kesem. But if there's a hargosha, then he would be, a real physical hargosha, then he would be machmir. So this is a. Like this halacha makes it even more the whole. In other words, within our system that we created, now this complicates it even further. Rabbi Willig wrote an article in the Beis Yitzchak about this. You can take a look. It's an article in general about Hargosha Bezman Hazeh on page 17. It starts on page 17 in the packet supplement packet one, and it's this. This piece that we're talking about is on page 20. I apologize that we're going a little late, but I just want to finish this topic today. I won't go 5-10 more minutes, and then and I apologize. But this way you'll have this thing down, and there's still always more to say. But so he says that... you see where it says, Vav Shin Soderech Riyosa? Miata yesh l'tzayim b'isha shemeshane es derech riyosa. V'nira poshut im isha lokachas kadurim v'al yizeh yesh pochus dam ke yedua. What page? Page 20, right?
There's two separate
ones. Oh. The one's from Rabbi, it says Rabbi Willig's name on it on page, starts on page 17, and it's on page 20. It's from the Beis Yitzchak. It's labeled Hargosha Bizmanenu. You see, the Ozvav in the bottom, Shinsa Derech Riyasa. So it says a woman who takes pills and she has less dam, because Mokum Yom Shemaskal Shef Adam, Yeshla didn't need the Raisa. She has less dam, but she still has riboy dam. She's in need of the raisa. Well, yeshu stopik beisha shol kachas kadurim yuchadim. Well, shechnisa, she takes special pills. Well, shechnisa has ken toch rechmanikar mirna. That's a type of IUD. Ke'elu famim ein dam klal. Like some women who are on the pill, they just don't get their period at all. Nothing, zero, zilcho. So then, okay, well, that's mutter, obviously. V'avshem ragishu simam shol veses aguf. B'zeh pashas shetora. Aval famim yesh ma'ad ma'odam. Hamchuna tipa chodshis. That's called a tipa chodshis. V'tzarech iyan, ha'im tipa zu shabok kol chodesh malave b'simone v'eses haguf dina k'kesem achmas miyuto uzo derdech riyasi shazu u'milyone noshim kayotzi ba v'yesh lo dim nidon reis v'shamati sheish mechilim b'ze kevin sheish rach bach tipa sein riboy dam. I think Rabbi Will said Rabbi Mordechai Elio was in certain cases was mekel. So it's not Derech Ria. So then he discusses this idea. He discusses the Tshuva of Rav Yashiv, and maybe this is considered the. So here talking about Belivoy versus Haguf, which is similar to what Rav Ash was saying. He doesn't say it here about what if she only had the tipa chodshis. See, what it sounds when I spoke to Reb David Feinstein, it says if that's her, he said to me, is that her regular vest? Is that her regular cycle? Then he was willing to be machmir. You know, I told you. So that, you know, here he's talking about there were some other, you know, vests aguf cramps, which maybe can be called quasi hargoshes according to some, etc. So that's the shaila and the different mahalchim to paskin on this shaila. I told you the three different mahalchim had a paskin on the tipa chodshi. One last point is Rav Shechter wrote a piece in his Sefer Ginos Egos, which is a big chiddush. Which packet's in the... It's the same packet? It's
15.
So he has from the Rugachever. The Rugachever wrote a famous tshuva, which Rav Shechter is like very into this tshuva. Most people in the world are not so into this tshuva. Maybe they never heard of it. And let me tell you what the tshuva is about. And by the way, also from page 13 is from the Nefesh HaRav that Rav Soloveitchik was machmir on blood that was vaday migufa even without hargosha. I mean, even in a little bit. Okay, what can I tell you? He quotes the Sidrei Tara. Basically, he held from this Sidrei Tara. Okay. So basically, it's like this. Hilchas Pinyan Aben. The truth of the Rugachever is here on page 14. And this is what he says. So, Baruch Hashem, if you zocher to have a Ben Bechor, and your wife is not a Kohen, Bas Kohen and Bas Levi, and you're not a Kohen or Levi, Baruch Hashem, I was zocher to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So, but, you know, there is a Shaila, say your wife, you have all the good things to get the Mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, but your baby's a forceps baby. Meaning, they have trouble pulling it out, so they have to take this thing and put it over around the head and yank it out. Okay, forceps. So the question is there still a din of Pidyon HaBen? everyone talks about it from the perspective of chatzitza, because the head is something between the head and the rechem, of coming out of the rechem. There's the forceps, this thing that's... So some poskim say maybe you shouldn't, there shouldn't be, maybe without a bracha, the different shitas. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, because there is a din when you have a behema, when you have a behema coming out, if you, the Gemara says if you put something around the head of the behema, put a bag around the head of the behema and it comes out, so the head of the behema never touched the rechem coming out, then it's not going to be chayev, it won't have kedushas b'chor. So some say, so there's no din pinyan ben either for a human being. So Rav Moshe finds, he says, no, not true. He says, only by an animal, animal has inherent kedusha, of kedushas b'chor. A human being, even though he's a peter li'imo, there's no kedusha there. It's not like a regular pinyan. Pinyan is just a lashon mushal. It's not really that beforehand he had the kedusha and you've been pulled to the... A b'chor behema is real kedusha. It's real. So Rav Moshe says, since there's no kedusha, so the touching the rechem is makes the kedusha on the b'chor behema, but by an adam there's no kedusha anyway. Yet it's still a din that the petter, the kid that comes out first, if he's a b'chor, if he's a zachar, he's a din of a pidyon ben. So then there's no halach of chatzitza. It doesn't matter because there's no kedusha in him anyway. It's only that din of chatzitza was only said by a behema. That's Rav Moshe. You can look in Chelek Dalet in the Igros Moshe where he has this tshuva. But the Ragachover says a different word. It's interesting. It's the tshuva is to Rav Yonis and Eibshitz. That's chashev. The Ragachover to me was like the gadol of the gedolim, even though we don't always necessarily paskin like what he said. But that's a separate discussion. So the Ragachover says, and this is what Rav Shechter likes to say over from the Ragachover, the way he says it over, is that we know that there's no din there's no din of pidyon haben if it's a C-section, because that's not a derech leida, right? So the Ragachover is machadish that any time you use forceps, that's like a C-section. What? It's not a C-section. It came out vaginally. It wasn't a C-section. So what's the pshat? So the Ragachov explains like this. The Rav Shechter explained this. That what's the vort in a pasha pshat? The vort in a C-section is it didn't come out of the rechem. So the Ragachov says a deeper vort. He says no. That the definition of a leida means it had to be hormonally, that hormonally it came out. See, when you have a C-section, it doesn't come out hormonally. You open up the cut, and then you take the baby out. It's not coming out. It's not the hormones. When a woman's giving birth, it's the hormones that are pushing it out. She came to a parent. The hormones are pushing it out. So it's not hormonal. If it's not hormonal, that's ejecting it. That's not a leida. So that's why a C-section is not a leida, because it's not hormonal. So he's machadesh that if you pull it out with forceps, it's also not hormonal. So the mela, it has the same status as the Yotzei Dofen. So then he wants to say, Rav Shechter, based on the Ragachover also, that the same thing in Hilchas Nida, that if it didn't come out hormonally, then it's not a Nida. It's not a Nida Daraisa. And that's what Rav Shechter explains with the Ragachover, based on the Ragachover, that's what Hargosha means. Hargosha means that it came out. Why does she have Hargosha? Because it's a simen that it's the hormones that are. But if it doesn't come out hormonally, then it's a kesim. So that's where Harav Shecht explains Ria. That Ria means it came out hormonally, and kesim means it came out not hormonally. So the Mele.
Not with Aram.
Yeah. So it's a big Kiddush. So based on this, there's one other person, two other people who said this chiddush, and that's an article here I quoted here in Hargosha supplement pack one. There's an article from Rabbi Eliezer Ben Porat, co-authored with Professor Pesach Kleiman, who's Rabbi Willig's mechutin. And they have this idea that if a woman forgot her pill, and so when you forget your pill, why are you bleeding? It's hormones. So even a little bit is a riyah, because that's what hagosha is, whatever it's the hormones. So that's it. And therefore you can't have coolers of ksamim, even a little bit on tzivonim would be a problem. So that Rabbi Willig, when he saw his mechut wrote that, he thought it was very big chumri. He didn't think we should pass like that. He didn't think it's the... So I told Rabbi Willig, but yeah, but Rabbi, according to Rabbi Shechter's thing, he would also hold like that. But in a chanami, but that's not the usual mahalach. That because according to this, you forgot a pill. Even if we said before, sometimes you forget a pill, there'll be a lot of staining. But even if there's a little bit of staining, it's still hormonal. And according to this definition, it'll be a need a ria, and then it'll be a need of the rice, and therefore you won't get the coolers of ksum. Okay, but okay, acharei kechlos hakol, we put it all together and all these different things. So we assume that, like Rabbi Bai said, there are hashulchan, that there really is a hagasha, but we only assume it when there's a riboy dam, or when there's dam inside of her, even a miyad dam. And that's the mahalach. Everything else is to explain everything to you and put everything in perspective, but all the different things. But again, like Rabbi Moshe said, when there was really the real dinim of hagasha, then you can have a miyat, a pipa with hargashas and either the raisa and a pool of blood, which is only drabun. That was before we rewrote Hilchas Nida. Now that we rewrote Hilchas Nida to fit in today's metzias, nahafochu, and things became different. And that's the mahalach that is used today by most rabbanim who are more hara in Hilchas Nida to paskin these shilas. Okay, so I apologize that we went so long today, but it